Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And you mentioned in passing Roy Occhiogrosso's favorite team.
Yeah, well, one of them, the New York Jets. He's like me, a New York apologist. So I root for the team that's actually won championships in New York, the Giants. The self-proclaimed star of Tom Dutchick's Capital Report, Sunday mornings at 10.
True.
On WTNH is with us now. Good morning. How are you?
Morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey, Roy.
What do you think of your signings? Jameson Crowder, Anthony Barr?
Not bad.
No.
I think Anthony Barr has a lot of potential to be a pass rusher, but I still... like a lot of Jeff fans, I'm hoping they get Le'Veon Bell. But
don't tell your boyfriend Sessa that, man. He's ready to snap if they get him. So you wrote a story, well-written as always, in HartfordBusiness.com. The headline says, Governor Lamont's honeymoon period is over. Well, that didn't take long.
Yeah.
No, it ended about 3 weeks after it started, which is certainly a short honeymoon. But look, I think it means he's doing his job because nobody's happy. We have a lot of financial problems in the state that are going to require billions and billions and billions of dollars to fix. And he put his plan on the table, and so now it's time for other people to put their ideas forward.
Right. Was there ever really, you know, from the moment of the election, which he won the election, to the time of the, you know, the opening session, is that the period that was the honeymoon? Because it seems to me once it got started, maybe after, I thought, a very nice little, after he got sworn in, you know, nice little speech he made, we're all in this together, so on and so forth. But within a couple of weeks, as you pointed out, you know, the gloves are off.
Yeah, but there actually was one whole day when people were feeling good. They passed a piece of legislation, emergency certified legislation, that was a deal between the state of Connecticut and People's Bank, I think,
right,
to provide short-term, no-interest loans to the federal workers who were not being paid as a result of the shutdown.
Right.
So there was this one sort of kumbaya moment, and then it just disappeared.
Everybody expected tolls to be a sticking point. The fact that the governor indicated, and he came on our show and said it, that, you know, tolls would be something that would be taken up down the road. And then, thanks to, you know, Senator Bergstein and some others, it came up right away, and the governor put his proposal. Is that something that you think set people off to the fact that, okay, let's start fighting on these things?
I mean, I think people should have seen it coming. You talked about it during the campaign.
Right.
Here's a fact, we are the only state on the East Coast, from Florida all the way up to Maine, that does not have tolls.
Okay.
And we're also the state that has the worst. And there's obviously a relationship between the two. Everybody agrees that we need to invest in our transportation infrastructure. Our roads and bridges are in terrible condition. We need to improve Metro North from New Haven to Stamford, Stamford to New York.
Yeah.
These things all cost money. And the gas tax is bringing in less and less money every year because cars are becoming more efficient. And so, you know, there's no beauty of tolls, but one of the positives of his proposal is that about 40% of that revenue would come from out-of-state drivers who currently pay nothing
right,
to use our roads and to wear them down. So, you know, the Republican plan, and give them credit for at least putting forward a plan, but it invests less and it costs taxpayers more because taxpayers have to foot the entire bill.
You know, there's an interesting survey that Angela had this morning from Sacred Heart University. By the way, you can read it at ctnewsjunkie.com, in which most people, 54%, according to this, are basically against tolls. And then, but on the other hand, they say the cost of tolling, so on and so forth, is expected to bring in $1 billion. So do the benefits outweigh the costs? And still, 38% said no, but 39% said yes. So, you know, people are aware that, you know, you got to pay the dues. The question is how you pay them.
Right. So one interesting number in that poll, which is not getting a lot of attention, although my friend Colleen Flanagan from Governor Lamont's office put out a statement about this last night, 34% of people say up front they support tolls. Another 36% say they're open to supporting tolls
right,
if the money, in fact, goes into the transportation lockbox, which became law thanks to a ballot initiative that was passed by the voters last November. So, you know, it depends on how you ask the question. I think if people have confidence that the money raised from tolls is going to actually be spent on transportation,
right,
then I think support is there.
Well, I think you're right. You know, I think the fact that not every road is supposed to be tolled, you know, I mean, there was that one, there's going to be 83 gantries, and now they're talking 95, 91, 84, and 15. So I think that's more.
Right, and they're also talking about providing a heavy discount for Connecticut only commuters, 30%, and for frequent commuters, 50%. So, you know, you have to dig into these proposals. It's easy to come out and say, I'm against tolls,
right?
Because it's just another tax increase.
Right.
But when you understand what the money is needed for, what it's going to be used for, and how Connecticut drivers are actually going to benefit from that in terms of a discount, then it becomes an entirely different story.
What about the increases on the sales tax?
There we go.
Yeah. I mean, look, as I said in the piece, nobody's happy, which means that probably he's doing his job. What he proposed is not increasing the sales tax rate, but actually removing some of the exemptions.
Right.
This is something Governor Malloy talked about in his first year in office as well. So, you know, we're having that discussion. We need the revenue. The question is, how do you raise it in the most fair and even-handed way possible?
You know, you've been active for quite a while, as long as I've been here in politics. So there you go.
Not that long. Not that long, Rick. Come on.
It's close. Roy, you know how it works. Come on. That's why you're on. But, I mean, the whole thing was, you know, what about the grocery tax, okay? The grocery tax, was that just a red herring?
I think that idea was floated in order to prompt the discussion about exemptions. So right now, groceries are exempt from the sales tax, as I think they should be. And the proposal that was sort of floated, but that was never made formally, was to impose the sales tax, but not the 6.35%, but rather a 2% tax on groceries. And I don't support it. A lot of people didn't support it, but it prompted a discussion of the exemptions that we currently have, which I think is a good discussion for us to have.
And with your experience, you are aware, and you pointed this out in the story that you can read online at hartfordbusiness.com, is in fact, it is such a political process as to what is covered and what isn't, right?
Yeah, it often depends on who has the better lobbyist. Again,
yes.
Something Governor Malloy talked about in his first year, in his first budget speech to the legislature, he pointed out that Pilates were not being taxed, the exercise, but yoga was. And everybody started laughing, and he said, how is that decision reached? Is one a better form of exercise than the other? Maybe we can ask Joe about that. But the exemption.
I was just going to say, there's nobody in that studio who has to pay a tax on that thing.
I mean, there's no rhyme or reason for some of these exemptions, and I think that's the point Governor Lamont's been trying to make.
Has there been anything he's done or things, something that if you were advising him, you'd say, you know, maybe we better pull the reins in on that, or maybe we better take it slow on that?
He doesn't really need any advice from me. He's got plenty of smart people around him. But I think the sales tax idea to tax groceries was something that I think he quickly realized there was no support for. But again, if it prompts a broader discussion of how we are taxing services, goods and services, then I think it served its function.
Well, all right. By the way, just very quickly, and we asked him when he was in here, is, you know, you do have, what, about 50% of the Democratic caucus, which is now progressive. Does that create a problem? Does that mean to get anything done, he's going to have to go with the more traditional Democrats and Republicans, kind of a hybrid, so to speak?
I mean, some of the things that he's put forward that he proposed in his budget are issues that progressives have been fighting for years, a $15 minimum wage, paid family leave. And so I think that there's a hodgepodge of proposals on the table, some of which the progressives will support and some of which they won't. Look, the Democratic Party has always been a large, sort of diverse, very broad-based party. And, you know, sometimes that means that we have to have difficult discussions, but the session is still early.
Yeah.
You know, we may be in the second inning, third inning, and we'll see what happens.
Well, if it's the third inning for your Mets and they bring Familia in, I wouldn't feel too good about that. So.
Me either.
Sorry,
Roy. Roy, thanks, man. We always appreciate it. We'll check in with you down the road, and we'll watch you Sunday mornings on News 8 with Dutchick and the rest of the crazy people on Capitol Report.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, appreciate
it, buddy. And by the way, Roy, just so you'll know, managing director of the Global Strategy Group.
Yes.
And I wasn't lying. He's been around. He knows
politics. He's young, but he's been around for a while. As opposed to us who were old and been around for a while.
That's right. 7:28, we take a break.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.